Me in your Bibles, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Second Chronicles chapter 24, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took for him two wives, and he begat sons and daughters. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said to them, Go out unto the cities of Judah and gather out of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten the matter. Howbeit the Levites hastened it not. And the king called for Jehoiada the chief, and said unto them, Why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle of witness? For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Baalim. And at the king's commandment they made a chest and set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring in to the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end. Now it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought unto the king's office by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest's officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. And the king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. So the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them, and they set the house of God in his state and strengthened it. And when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, whereof were made vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister and to offer withal, and spoons and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died, and 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance unto the king. Then the king hearkened unto them, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. And they conspired against him, and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, The Lord look upon it and require it. And it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people, and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. And when they were departed from him, for he was left in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and slew him on his bed, and he died, and they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchres of the kings. And these are they that conspired against him: Zabad, the son of Shimeath, an Ammonitess, and Jehozabad, the son of Shimrit, a Moabitess. Now concerning his sons, and the greatness of the burdens laid upon him, and the repairing of the house of God, behold, they are written in the story of the book of the Kings. And Amaziah, his son, reigned in his stead. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. He's going to divide the chapter into two portions, before the death of Jehoiada and after the death of Jehoiada. That really is the turning point of the passage. So, verses 1 through 14 is before the death of Jehoiada. And before the death of Jehoiada, we see several principles. A child needs good training. And we believe that during the days of Jehoiada, Joash, the king's son, or the king, as he has now been elevated to the throne, even at a young and tender age, still, he was trained well by Jehoiada. It looks, from all appearances here, that Jehoiada took very good care of Joash. He taught him the ways of the Lord. He taught him how to follow the Lord. He taught him so much that he even, at a point in his adulthood, took, it seems, those reins to himself and said, "Now, we need to rebuild the house of the Lord." The passage doesn't tell us that that was Jehoiada's idea. That was Joash's idea. We need to repair the breaches in the house of the Lord. It's a very interesting passage, because what had happened was all of those things that belonged in the house of the Lord, the gold and the silver and the vessels and all that stuff, they had taken it out from there and they had given it unto Baalim. And they had put it in the Baalish temple that they had built in Jerusalem. Now that's an interesting point when you think about that, a concept, right? Because really, we only have so much to give. We only have so much time, talent, and treasure. I mean, that's the way one guy has put it, and it's pretty comprehensive. Time, talents, and treasure. What do you have to give unto the Lord? What do you have with which to be a good steward? Well, you have the time, talents, and treasure that the Lord has given you. And either you will return those unto Him, or you'll return them into something else. Right? I mean, whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, we're to what? Do all to the glory of God, right? So if we're taking all the good things that the Lord has given us, and let's just think of this conceptually as all of those things that should have been brought into the house of the Lord. And for a time they were in the house of the Lord, but then there was a time when they were removed from the house of the Lord and they were given over to something else. Your time, your talents, your treasure. Who owns that? Who owns your time, your talents, and your treasure? Who does? The Lord. To whom are you rendering them? Time, talents, and treasure. Are you working unto the Lord? Are you recreating unto the Lord? Are you doing those acts of devotion day by day and on the Lord's day unto the Lord? Or are you just going through the motions? I mean, I don't know. It's a question we need to ask ourselves. And that question is the stuff that we have, are we bringing it into the house of the Lord, or are we building up some other temple? Our own or someone else's? Because you can't take the stuff that you have and rightly give it to both. Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve two masters. You have to have one master. And it's very interesting that the word Baalim means what? Masters. So how many masters can you serve? Well, you can serve only one. And this is represented in either they filled up the house of the Lord with the stuff, or they filled up the house of Baal with the stuff. So then here, Joash says, no, we need to repair the breaches of the house of the Lord. Well, it seems that the people were waiting on someone to tell them that. Because as soon as Joash said that, the Levites, they were slack, but the people were very forward. And so he brings in Jehoiada, his mentor, and he says, hey, you know, this is going too slowly. Command the Levites that they do their duty. So they set the chest in the outskirts there, the environs of the house of the Lord, and the people just come in, they're filling it up day by day. They want the house of the Lord to be built. They're forward to do that which is good. It's It's a good example to us. Forward to do that which is good. Wise when it comes to the things that are good, and ignorant when it comes to that which is evil, right? All right, so the finishing then of the plan, the house is built, and the offerings are offered in righteousness. But then in verses 15 through the end of the chapter, verse 27, Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died, 130 years of age, and they buried him in a very honored place. He had a great reputation in Israel. So then the princes of Judah gathered around Joash, and he hearkened unto them. It seems that the people were forward to build the house, but the princes, they were ready to do something else. And so Jehoiada, whether it was to keep the peace or not, we don't know. The passage doesn't tell us, but it seems that Joash's convictions were good while Jehoiada was alive, but when Jehoiada died, his convictions were not so good. Brothers and sisters, are you depending on someone else for your convictions? It's a good question. Joash was depending upon Jehoiada, and when he could no longer have access to Jehoiada, what happened to his convictions? And so it will be if we trust upon men and not upon God. And so the Lord raised up a prophet in his kindness to speak to him. And what did they do? They shot the messenger. This is that Zechariah of which Jesus speaks in Matthew chapter 23. When he says, you know, the righteous blood of the prophets from Abel to Zechariah, this is that Zechariah. And so he stood up and he defied the king and he said, "You have turned away from seeking the Lord. How can you prosper?" And so they put him to death. They stoned him, and the Lord, well, when he was dying, he said, "The Lord look upon it and requite." And the Lord most certainly did. He sent a small army of Syrians against the multitude of the host of Judah, and they were destroyed. And so Joash died an ignominious death. He was put to death for the terrible treatment of Zechariah. His own people conspired against him. And irony of ironies, what were the names of the men that conspired against him? A man of Ammon and a man of Moab. Moab and Ammon rose up more righteous than Judah that day. You think God does not have a sense of irony? He most certainly does. All right, let's stand then and call upon the Lord in the singing of psalms. Turn with me in your psalter.